Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we've come together in fellowship, Lord, and learn of your word. Lord, we ask you to anoint your word and open our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes to hear and see what you have for us tonight. Lord, we just thank you for all of the people here. We thank you for Wayne. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that he's been over the years to me and to the rest of us. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
I think she went down the hall.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, we've been, for many months now, we've been working on John 14, 15, 16, and 17, and then all of the epistle of 1 John. Five chapters out of that. Last month we were zeroing in on the faith of God, the fact that God has faith, that God operates by faith, which for a lot of people is a strange concept because they have a misconception of what faith is. But faith is simply God speaking. God, in the beginning, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews tells us that God created the world, the heavens and the earth, and did it by faith. We understand it was by faith that he did this. We know that the Father spoke and the Spirit moved. So you have the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it was by the faith of God, and he puts that same faith in us because we place our faith in Jesus. And of course, the faith of God then, Paul talks about in Galatians 2:20, he said, "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Some of the newer translations changed it to faith in God because they didn't understand, and they thought, well, we need to make it simpler. But in making it simpler, they made it incorrect. And so people would say, well, no, you can't say faith of God, you have to say faith in God. So what we were doing last month was, even if we eliminated Galatians 2:20, all of the other verses speak to the fact that God has faith. And we are receivers of faith. Somebody has to be the giver, and somebody has to be the receiver. You can't receive something that's not being given. Okay? So what I did, I brought the second part first, so that you get a good understanding then of what I'm going to bring tonight, and that is the fact that love is energy. Okay? Love is energy. A lot of people think of love just as an emotion. But Paul tells us in Galatians 5:6, faith which works by love. And the Greek word there is energy. Faith is energized by love. And of course, then Paul goes, you know, in other places. And for instance, he said, "I could have faith to move mountains, and have not love, it profits me nothing." James says, "Faith without works is dead, because it's alone." But if you can get a, and don't try to get it mentally because you won't, but if you can get it by revelation, the fact that God is love, there had to be a motive of why God did what he did. Okay? And the motive was love. That's what energized this whole thing. It was the energy of love that actually brought forth creation. Okay? The love of God fills the universe, and the energy of God fills the universe. Okay, so let's go back then to creation. That God is love. Love has to have an object. You can't just make the statement "I love." You have to love something, and so God needing an object to love. Of course, he had the angels, and but they were all servant to him. And of course, they all had free will. We know because Lucifer and a third of the angels rebelled against him. But he created the universe. He created the earth so he could put man on it, so man would be the object of his love. And so the energy then of the love of God brought forth all of this, brought it into being. And and so everything that God does is out of this energy called love. Okay, and then all sin is defined by love. In other words, all of us probably grew up with a list of sins. And people say, don't do this, and don't do that. Don't. The Bible says, but when they asked Jesus about it, explain to us the law, explain to us the commandments. He said, well, that's real simple. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the whole crux of the matter of law is love. See? Mm-hmm. And anything that is against love is sin. Doesn't matter if it's pride. Doesn't matter what kind of selfishness it is. It doesn't matter, what the sin is, what name it has. If it's against love, it is sin. And if it's against faith, it is sin. Because Paul tells us, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay? What we then, in understanding this this whole thing that God is, we're all caught up in this love, this energy that's coming forth, being poured forth from God, and the many, many ways that he has included us and revealed himself to us. Yeah. And he demonstrated, for instance, his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Or every time he introduced himself with a new name, it was, I care about you, and this is how I am caring for you. I am your righteousness. I am your peace. I am your sanctification. I am your provider, and on and on and on the list goes. So he's actually revealing his love to us piece at a time, so that we get to know him. And of course, the greatest was the revelation of his own Son. Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And so Jesus then becomes the greatest demonstration of the love of God. And Jesus of course, was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he never, ever went contrary to the love of God. He never, ever went contrary. Of course, they were always getting on to him. You know, no, you shouldn't have healed it. You know, you shouldn't that guy shouldn't be walking around carrying his bed, you know. And they had all these things. Everything he did was according to love. Okay? And every miracle that he did by love. It said, and he was filled with compassion. Compassion being that element of love that sees a need and wants to meet it. And so he was operating in this energy, which is love. See? And of course, as we get on into this, you'll understand where we're going. Is the fact that we are actually filled with this love. And we have been given this love to give away to people. Not to convince them.
No.
Not to somehow, you know, get them included. But we need to be a demonstration of the love of God so that everyone we meet will know that there's a living God. This living God loves them and has released all this energy for their salvation, their healing, their deliverance, their provision, everything. I love the way Peter puts it. Everything you need for life and godliness is yours. And he revealed his love for us through his promises. A promise that is not backed by love is not a promise. Okay? If I have a daughter and some renegade comes along and he's wanting to take advantage of her, and so he makes her all kind of promises, those promises aren't valid. Only the ones who love and promise make a valid promise. God's promises are valid, all of them. His initial promise, the promise, everything else is promises, plural, but the promise is, I will be your God and you shall be my people. And it's repeated at least five times through Scripture. From the beginning and of course in the book of Revelation. Revelation concludes with, I will be your God and you will be my people. I will dwell among you and be your God. Okay? And so as we see and understand the love of God, then all of a sudden, you have understanding of everything of the universe. If you get this, then you can understand everything of the universe. It becomes real simple. A lot of times when I'm praying, I get caught up into the heavenlies. And when I'm there, there's no time or space. Paul would get caught up in the heavens. And he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But it's real neat because you can see eternity. You can see in every direction without time or space being involved. And you get there and all you see is the love of God and the faith of God. Now they're both, you can never, we can take them apart. Last month we did faith, this month we do love, but you cannot separate them in activity. They're inseparable in activity, but they're also inseparable in development. Jude tells us, Jude verse 20 and 21, there's only one chapter in Jude, says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. See, most people only quote the one. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, it really works. Because when you're praying in tongues, you're actually speaking creation words. We know that because the 120 in the upper room, when they were speaking in tongues, it said we hear them speak the wonderful works of God, or the wonderful energy of God. See? And so we edify. The word edify means to build up or to increase, like building a house, an edifice. Okay? But at the same time you're being increased in faith, you're being increased in the love of God. And that is the only way that we can be increased in the love of God is by the Holy Spirit. If you try to do love, you'll mess it up. The harder you try, the deeper the hole gets. A lot of people try, they'll read 1 Corinthians 13, for instance. And they'll say, oh my, I'm really a mess. I'm going to do better. I will memorize 1 Corinthians 13 and I will do it. You can't. It's an impossible thing, but because only God can do it. But God can do it in me. And so the more I pray in tongues, the more I pray in the Spirit, and then I walk out and I don't have to try to love. Remember I told you last month? If you feel like you're moving in faith, you're not. Because when you're truly moving in faith, you don't know it. You don't even realize it until after the miracle's done or the situation solved or whatever. You absolutely don't feel like you're in faith when you're in faith. The same is true of the love of God. You do not feel like you're, oh boy, I'm really moving in the love of God now, you know. Or I'm going to do better. I'll just try harder to love. And the more you think about it, the worse you are. But if you will be built up in the love of God, praying in the Spirit, and of course there's many ways that God manifests His love through us, that as we do that, and then all you have to do is walk out of the house and you're loving. You just do those loving things. People will notice it and you won't. Yeah. Because they'll notice that you're different from selfish people. See? So, anyway, let's look at, we want to go to our scriptures here. I have 3 pages of scriptures on this, and so I'm not going to share it all with you tonight. But what I do want to, I'm going to email them over to Nelson and Janie, and they'll run off copies. No, anyone that has email, I can. If you get my newsletter, I can get it to you.
This is interesting. My pastor last week said he was. Had been with the Lord all week, all day Saturday. Uh-huh. And the Lord showed him, he said, I've never heard this terminology. He says, the church has operated in law love.
Uh-huh.
And he says, the only way you can get love is through revelation. So this is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever heard that terminology?
The what?
Law love. It says, which what the churches have operated under.
Right, yeah.
He said he'd never heard that terminology. It's the Holy Spirit give it to him.
Yeah. And what God is doing, see, God is getting us ready for miracle ministry.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He's setting us up for miracle ministry. And we're going to be walking in this love of God. And you have to I'll get ahead of myself here. But the thing is that you don't want to get discouraged in saying, oh, miracle ministry in our church. Because the miracle ministry probably won't happen in your church. The miracle ministry is going to happen in Walmart.
That's right.
It's going to happen in the grocery store. It's going to happen at the gas station. It's going to happen, but we will be led, we will be directed by the Spirit. You can fall in love just as surely as an airplane can follow a radio signal in the sky. Just to me, it's just clear. I just go with it and I get to the right place, you know. And it's fun. But let me tell you how it works. A man back east told me about it. His name was Jesus. he said, if I had done the miracles in Tyre and Sidon that I did here, they would have repented long ago. He wasn't just making a statement. He was teaching us something. When we go out among the lost, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And you go out among the lost, miracles just happen. And you don't have to work at it.
No.
It is as easy as falling off the log. But if you try to convince people, if you try to convince the unbelieving believers, you'll just bat your head against the wall forever. But that's not what God's opening up for us. What God wants us to do is move in His love, and He'll show us. And all it takes is just boldness. And you'll never get past the feeling inadequate. And I always feel inadequate. It doesn't hinder the miracles.
That's right.
And so I just figure that's a part of it. And of course Jesus told Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I thought, fine, then I'm just here, you know, I'll do my part and God does His part. But I don't think about, you know, well, how much faith do I have? Do I, you know? But there's always these questions that come up. You know, well, what if nothing happens? What will people think? You know, what? Your mind just goes through all kind of gymnastics. Don't pay any attention to your mind. Listen to your heart. And listen to Jesus. Because Jesus is on a mission to reveal His glory. Now the people will be helped, but that's not the purpose of the miracles. The miracles is to manifest His glory. As Jesus said, they would have repented. If they would have seen the miracles, they would have repented long ago. Our problem is that people didn't understand what Jesus was up to, even His disciples. For instance, they come to this blind man, and the disciples ask for a theology lesson. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Yeah. Teach us some theology here. Let us know. And Jesus didn't even bother with it. He said, this isn't about who sinned. That's not what we're dealing with here. The whole situation is to manifest the glory of the Father. That's what we're about here. Yeah. Plenty of time to talk about doctrine. Plenty of time to talk about theology. But the whole thing was to manifest the Father's glory. That's what He told them. See, Jesus goes over to gonorrhea. There's a gonorrhea demoniac comes out full of demons. Jesus cast the demons out of him. And the guy said, well, I would like to go with you. You know, I want to get in the boat with you and go back across. And of course, if it was us, we would have told him, well, you know, you really need to go back to your own people and be a witness. But let's see, you need 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary, 2 years of experience, and then you can go witness to your people. Jesus said, no, you're not going with me. Go and be an evangelist in Decapolis. All he had was the love of God and a testimony of what God had done. And Jesus said, now here's what I want you to do. Tell what happened to you. I guess that's easy enough. And if it's anything like, remember when Philip went down to the Ethiopian eunuch? You get such a tiny little slice of the story there, see. But we also know that the Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia, spread the gospel, and when the gospel was quenched everywhere else, everyone was being, Christians were being killed as though they were witches. It was the Ethiopian people, the Ethiopian Christians, that maintained the purity of Christianity. We almost lost the purity, but the Ethiopians and the Waldensians were the only two that kept it. Everyone else got defiled. They got all kind of mixture going on. But the Ethiopian eunuch did his job. The Gadarene demoniac did his job. I met a fellow one time, and he was part of the hierarchy in India, and it's. They have the what they call it the caste system, and this fellow and another fellow felt it was their job to drive the Pentecostals out of the area, and these Pentecostals were in this building, and so they took ball bats and went over there, and the one guy told the other guy, well, you go in first, and you know, I'm going to wait out here, and then I'll come in and I'll help you. And so the guy went in, but he never came out. and he never came out. And so finally the guy went in to see what had gone on. And here was his friend with his arms up in the air praising God. Worshiping Jesus, and he ended up, the Holy Spirit came on him, he came under conviction, repented, and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately went out to preach the gospel, and all he knew was John 3:16. And he traveled and traveled and traveled all over India. He never even went back home until his mom died. They sent word, and of course, for him to even come back was under the threat of death. In this particular religion, they would take the dead, put them on a slab out in the middle of the village. His mom had been dead for days. He came back, took one look at her, took a run, jumped right up on top of her, laid right on top of her and said, in Jesus' name, get up. And she woke up just like that and came up off that slab.
Wow. Isn't that neat? That is neat. That is really cool.
So, the love of God is energy.
Amen.
Okay? Wow. Love is energy. And if we learn to move in the love of God, not an emotion, we're not talking about an emotion here. We're talking about what gets God going.
It's so
great. What gets his zeal up? what gets him going? And I'll kind of go back and forth here a little bit. Okay, what is it then that kills this love? Have you ever been in a church just full of love and then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone?
Yeah.
Okay, I've had it happen. And I say, someone has gone contrary to the love of God. Someone has sinned. Someone has been, and of course they all deny it. But it can't be denied because there is reality. The only way you can get rid of the love of God is to go contrary to the love of God. Okay? And so this is the main thing Satan wants to do, is bring disunity. And all you need is for one person to begin to be selfish. And as soon as that person begins to be selfish, it stops the love of God. One person in a marriage can drive the love of God right out of the marriage. One person being selfish in a family. See? But unity. Okay, let's, we kind of have the background now of what we're talking about. Let's look at all these scriptures. Because when you look at John 14, 15, 16, 17, and all of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, you'll see what this is. Okay, we'll start with John 14, 15. If you really love me, you will keep my commands. And of course, the command is love one another. Love the Father, love one another. So if you love me, and Nelson James, we're studying Psalm 119 on Tuesday mornings, you have the commandments. I love your commandments. Okay? The word commandment comes from the word commander. People say, well, I'm not into that legalism stuff. This isn't legalism. This is a God of love who says, this is the way I created the universe. And what holds everything together in the universe is my love. What energizes everything in the universe is my love. And so I give you these commandments that you know how it works. My laws are actually become then the laws of nature. See? In other words, this is the gravity is a law. Mm-hmm. And you can't say, I'm not into gravity. I don't care how God created the universe. I'm just not into gravity, and I don't believe in gravity. It won't work. It doesn't matter, see. And you go contrary to it, you're dead. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people say, I don't think God would have created all that out there if he didn't have a whole bunch of other earths out there with people on it, and aliens and all of that. Of course, they're just talking. They don't understand, because you see, the gravity of the earth is so powerful that if everything out there wasn't pulling us that way, away from the earth, all the way around the earth, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be able to get up off the floor. You would be nailed to the floor. You could not even so much as raise your hand. The gravity of the earth is so powerful that there has to be everything out there pulling us this way to even give us the freedom to to lift our hands and praise God. That's all by the love of God. Yeah. We are millions of miles from the sun. If we were any closer, we would burn up. If we were any further away, we would freeze. The love of God does everything perfect. So here we find ourselves walking around now, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens? All things begin to work together for good to those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose, which is to love. And all of a sudden, we're walking around energized. You know, I wake up in the morning various times, but when I finally get up in the morning, I am so excited about the day and what all's going to be happening. But the first thing I do is run into my secret place and pray in the Spirit, building up in holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping myself in the love of God. And that energy just comes. But we also know with the energy comes efficiency. And pretty soon everything's just clicking. Favor, 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 favor. Yeah. And we're just, you know, and of course, the ones that I'm working with down there on a, you know, a regular basis, I have several men that I'm just doing one-on-one with. And of course, they're coming back to me or calling me all the time. You can't believe what's just happened. You can't believe what's just happened. The fact is, I do believe it. It's unbelievable, but I believe it.
Sure.
Because everything is working together. Everything that Satan intends for evil just flips right over in the love of God. And it turns out to be favor. And a new blessing, and someone else is seeing the manifestation of the glory of God and the awareness then to come to Christ and be born again. Okay, so that was verse 14, verse 21. John 14, 21. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and we will show, that is, reveal, and manifest myself, I will love him and will show and reveal and manifest myself to him. So we can have, by walking in the love of God, we can have continuous manifestation of Christ. Him constantly manifesting himself. Someone mentioned the other day that they heard a preacher, I guess it wasn't, said, well, you know, God isn't talking all the time. I've never tuned in that way. He wasn't talking. Other people say, well, God never talks to me. You know, there's this lady in our church living in adultery, and she says God never talks to her. It's probably a good thing.
Yes.
You know. And it's a good thing he doesn't manifest himself to her, or she'd be dead, you know. But as long as she can just la, 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 you know, and she laughs at all the preacher's jokes and all that, as far as she's concerned, she's a Christian. But the problem is, there is no sign of the love of God, either in her or coming forth from her. You can't live in lust and love at the same time, because they're going to, it's two different energies. their energy's all right. You know, I know it. I've had to deal with people caught up in pornography, and they'll tell me that, you know, they'll try to go past a store or a counter where it's being sold, or past a computer, and they said they try their very best, but there's this energy that's actually pulling them back to it. And and of course there are many other powers and energies out there that's doing it, which creates a problem for us as Christians, because Christians then say, I want to keep myself pure, therefore I'm not going to get out there and get polluted. See? But if you don't go out there, you won't pollute them. There's no way we can pollute them without getting among the pollution.
That's true.
But I learned long ago how to do that. I get filled with the Spirit and the pollution doesn't bother me. But I pollute. If I go out drained of the Holy Spirit, then it pollutes me. I can just feel it. Thoughts and all kinds of things bombarding me. But if I walk in the love of God, I can walk right into it. And I can pollute them without them polluting me. So I'm, to say, I just got to stay holy and pure. And you can't be any more holy and pure than to be in His holiness. But if you're going to walk in His holiness and His love, for God so loved the world. And we said God has to have an object. Okay? And the world is His object, not just Christians.
That's true.
It's not just Christians that God loves. And that while we were yet sinners, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When Jesus came, there was none righteous, no, not one. And He died then for the sins of the whole world. And so, His love, whether people love Him back or not, what He would like for people to love Him back. But they don't have to love Him back for Him to love them. He already does. And they are the object of His love. If you and I see, but we don't see properly. There's this guy in California that he just a lot of these young people, I've been telling you about it, but these young people just thrill me. And this young man, he sees someone with a broken leg, he gets so excited. He said, to think that God would bless me so much that He'd put someone with a broken leg right here in front of me so I could heal him. And he'll pray for him and they'll be healed.
That's amazing.
The other guy, there was a guy in one of the supermarkets, and he sensed the love of God. And it's like, who? And so he was running all through the store, asking people, you need to be healed? You need to be healed? And they, no. He said, okay, so he starts out the door. He just gets out the door and there's a man coming in. And he said, do you need to be healed? He said, you better believe I do. He said, I am in so much pain. And he said, I need healing so bad. And he said, in Jesus' name be healed. And the guy was instantly healed. And I think 20 people came running around. And like 20 people got saved just from one. He was just so excited. He finally found someone that needed to be healed.
That's so cool.
Yeah. But to be to be walking around, not just going shopping to go shopping, you know, but we are where we are for purpose. And if we're energized by the love of God, faith will work. Because faith is energized by love. If we have the word of the Lord, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have the word of the Lord, the unction of the Spirit, and we could really have fun. I heard a testimony of another young man out in California. He was in a hamburger joint and getting a hamburger, and he looked out the drive-in window, and there were some guys in a car picking up their stuff. And so he runs outside, sticks his head in the window, and begins to talk to them about Jesus. And of course, they're wanting to get out of there. But he looked in the back seat, and there was a guy with a broken leg and a brace on it. He runs around, opens the back door, jumps in the back seat, and begins to pray for the guy to be healed. And the guy starts cursing, saying, "What have you done? My leg's on fire. My leg's on fire." And he jumped out of the car and he started stomping. And he realized he didn't have a broken leg. They were drug dealers. They went around to the trunk of their car, opened up the trunk of their car. There was all these drugs that they were delivering. Threw them out of the car and started stomping on them. Accepted Jesus as their Savior.
Isn't that neat? Wow.
What if we moved in the love of God? What if we just love people instead of looking at them like, "Oh, you bunch of druggies, you know, you bunch of, you know." If you hadn't sinned, you wouldn't be sick. It's your own fault that you're sick, and just live with it.
Law of.
Yeah. Just live with it. You made your bed, sleep in it. That's not the love of God. God says, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound." We need to begin to move with energy. I, over the years, I've shared so many testimonies with you about it, but to be able to follow, and I followed the love of God like 80 miles. Yeah. I'll share a few things. It won't take a lot of time, but I'd finished a meeting down in Stratford, down there by Springfield. And they had fed me breakfast. I was halfway through with my breakfast and God said, "Get up and leave." And so I told him, I said, "I believe." And they said, "Finish your breakfast." And I said, "I can't." I grabbed my briefcase, my Bible, and I didn't even put it away neat. I just shoved it all together. I jumped in my car and I headed out, and I could tell I was supposed to go towards Springfield. I got to Springfield. I knew Highway 13. I turned north on 13, and I drove, and I drove, and I drove, and I drove, and I drove. And I finally came to Clinton. When you get to Clinton, 13 turns, and then it goes up this way, and then it becomes Highway 7. Mm-hmm. And when I got to that intersection, it was south of me. And I turned south. I knew Bob State and Chevrolet was there, and so I drove up by Bob State and Chevrolet. And just as I got there, Bob was trying to turn into his own car lot, and he had a whole string of cars behind him. And so I let all of them go in, and then I pulled in there. And Bob jumped out, because he drove a whole circle around and came back to me. And he said, "Oh, I'm so thrilled you're here." He said, "I had a minister lined up to be here this morning. He got called away. He had to do a funeral. And I have all these people that need ministry. And you're here."
That's
And I was there at exactly the right moment. Not a minute too soon, not a minute too late. There at the exact moment. If I'd finished my breakfast, I'd have missed the whole thing. See? But I followed the love of God 80 miles and got there at the right minute. Yeah. We can all do it. There's this energy called the love of God. And we need to be able to let that energize. It gives direction. It gives motive. And it then furnishes. It's not the power. The Holy Ghost is the power. But that's what gets us there. That's what energizes us to be there. How do you explain? You're here on the news. They've discovered new oil wells. Mm-hmm. They talk about oil wells as though they are energy. But they're not energy. They are sources of energy. It's potential energy. Mm-hmm. But that oil has to be taken somewhere. It has to be refined. It has to make its way to the gas station. Mm-hmm. And then even when you put it in your car, in the tank of your car, it's still not energy. It's only potential energy. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it's not until you start the engine. Mm-hmm. Something has to motivate you to start the engine. Something has to motivate you to get in there and turn the key. Now, if there's a guy that loves a girl, it's pretty obvious why he's in the car to go pick up his girl. See? Love is energizing him to go on a date. Because he wants to be with the one he loves. Okay? Now, you can have a 40 horsepower engine, 700 horsepower engine, whatever, but until somebody turns the key, there is no power. The power is in the explosion. Okay, that's the Holy Ghost. And that's not the energy we're talking about. The energy we're talking about is the driver driving. Getting in there with a motive, turning the key, and steering this thing. See, God's steering was perfect. God's steering is always perfect. Even if he leads you halfway around the world. And whatever God destines for you to do in his love, there is absolutely nothing to stop. Jesus said it this way, there's nothing impossible to him who believes. Faith works. Faith is energized by love. There is nothing impossible to him who loves. Or is following the loves of God, who is following the commands of God, following the laws of God, which I said are also the laws of creation, and we would call it even the laws of nature. God will make everything work together for good to those who love him, who are the called according to his love purpose. Okay. Let's see, where did we get to? 21, 23. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teachings, and my Father will love him. Okay, now we're talking about this connection, this unity of spirit, you loving God, God loving you, and God loving people through you. When we get to chapter 15, you'll see this. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, abode, special dwelling place in him. Mm-hmm. Remember when we started the series, we was back there in John 14:2, he said, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. Okay, he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about an abode. And it's exactly the same Greek word as in John 15, if you abide in me. Abide and abode, they're the same Greek word. Only the only difference is one's referring to the place and the other's who dwells there. So you you abide in the abode.
That's right.
Okay? That's what he's talking about. He's saying there's I'm going to go to heaven. That's the reason why he could say that the things I do, you will do, and greater than these you will do, because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to the Father. I will make an abode for you. And when you abide in the abode, you will be fruitful. Love bears fruit. You will, in this energy of the love of God, you will actually produce fruit. And let me tell you, it's nowhere near as hard as trying to be a Christian. If you grew up in churches where they tried to teach you how to be a Christian and expected you to do it, you know how hard that is. Being a Christian's not hard. Trying to be a Christian's very difficult. No, it's worse than that. It's impossible. Okay. It gets better here. Verse 31. Chapter 14, verse 31. Remember, we talked about this when we were talking about being able to control the atmosphere. Jesus has given us the authority over the atmosphere. There's all kind of pollution out there, but we can take authority. We can wipe the slate clean and then fill it with good stuff. Okay. Verse 31, but Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know and be convinced that I love the Father, and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do. I act in full agreement with his orders. So he ends up driving the car. See? Exactly the way the Father wants him to drive the car. He goes where he's supposed to go. He said, I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I hear my Father speak. You look at the miracles, it's not me doing it, it's the Father doing it. You go back here, and the last verse we read, it said, my Father and I, we will come. We will make our abode in you. Paul refers to that then when he's... in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, he said that in Jesus, in his physical body, said the Godhead dwells completely. In other words, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay? But verse 10 says, and you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What if the love of God was dwelling in you? Now, we've already said that we can't come up with faith on our own. No. If it's God's faith, then if he's inside of us, then the faith that I have is the faith of the Son of God. Okay? Now, we're saying, if we're filled with the Spirit of God, then we're filled with the love of God. What if we just let God run all over Marshall and do whatever he wanted to do?
That would be open.
That's right.
The way God taught this to me years ago, I was asking him about it. I said, well, how does this work? And I happened to be driving on I-435 down through Kansas City. And he said, well, it works like this. You're sitting in a car. And this car is your transportation. And it's moving you along. You are my transportation. and I move you wherever you go, that's where I go. I'm there. And so if we'll let God drive, we'll get to the right place. Now, I don't say, oh, I want to do a miracle today. I want to be a blessing to someone today. All I do is say, you know what? I want to please you. And I could care less if I do a thing. Fact is, I could just sit here and worship you all day long. And I'm complete in that. I don't, you know, I'm not itching to preach. I'm not itching to do anything. But I sure want to move when you move. That way I'm totally rested when he's ready to work. But we then, as Paul tells us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he said the Godhead dwells in you bodily. And so the love of God is dwelling in us, because he said, if you love me, my Father and I will come and make our home in your heart. Okay, and so he said in 31 there, I do what I do exactly as my Father shows me. Okay, in chapter 15, verse 9. Now you want to get this one. It's real easy to read past some of these. But if you get a hold of this, it'll get a hold of you. Okay? Now look at it. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. I have loved you exactly the way my Father loved me. Can you imagine? Sometimes I like to just let my imagination go. And I think of Jesus walking around Nazareth, Galilee, Holy Land, wherever he's going for the day. Where do you think the Father's eyes would be?
On him.
Off somewhere? Absolutely not. His eyes are glued on his Son. The Father's eyes and the Father's love is on his Son. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. Hey, folks, this is my beloved. Hey, let me tell you, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Is it any wonder that he did miracles? What if we realized that he loved us exactly the way the Father loved him? I told you, your brain can't get it. Your brain can't handle it. But if you'll get a revelation, it'll transform your life. It'll transform the way you think about every day. You'll see yourself as the love of God in a sick and a dying world without sympathy. God didn't ask us to sympathize with those poor people. He said, go and make a difference. Go out seeking to save that which is lost. Make a difference. Go out there and get them infected. Pollute them with the love of God. It'll make a radical out of you. Fanatic. Okay, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, which is to love God and love one another, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it. So this is going to be a continuous thing, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. Just as. Not at some inferior level. Didn't say, you know, well, I'm the Son of God. I want you to have a taste. I want you to just have a little bit. Experience what it is to live on in the love of God. No, he said, just as I live day by day, you know, for 33 years, just as I live day by day, I want you to live in the love of God.
Amen. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you,
Father. Loved the same way the Father loved him, he's loving us. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Remember, we said sin is defined by love. Okay? If it's contrary to love, it's sin. I don't care what the name of it is.
Yeah.
And I don't care how people justify it. If it's contrary to love, it's sin. Because that's what destroys the energy of God and brings death into a family, into a church, you know, into a home, into a community. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 13. No one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down and give up his own life for his friends. You are my friends. If you keep on doing the things which I command you. I like being Jesus' friend. And I love being loved. I want to go back. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of something. I've had people make the statement, and you might have even heard it in churches or Sunday schools, and it sounds, people make, you know, smart statements, and they just sound so good. And I've heard people say, well, God don't need us. God don't need anything. Now, that sounds really good, except Jesus said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking. The word seek there means to require by necessity. Mm-hmm. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God has a need. He needs for me to love him. He needs for me to worship him. And he's seeking people to do that. And I love to do it. And that's the reason why it says God inhabits the praises of his people. You start offering up love to God, and the love of God just comes right back. And Janie and I was talking this afternoon. I get to driving and I lose miles. I don't know where they go. But I get caught up in the spirit, and I don't turn on anything. I don't turn on music. I don't turn on anything. I just sit there and visit. And we just talk, and he talks and I talk. I ask him questions. He gives me answers. And sometimes we don't talk at all. Sometimes we just sit there, cover the miles. But if God needs that, I know I sure do. And I know just 1 second in his presence is so refreshing. 5 hours is even better. Sometimes people are so anxious to do ministry that they don't stay in the love long enough to get saturated so that when they walk out, they'll be fruitful. I want to always stay in his presence long enough. Of course, you have to keep going back in. the woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he said, I felt virtue go out of me. Virtue goes out, got to get back somehow. I get it back by going back in his presence. And I can actually feel it. I can, I think I've taught you about it, but the when it talks about heavenly places, it's not talking about heavenly places, it's talking about heaven, the heavenlies, as the activity of God among us. That's what heavenly places is. It's the Spirit of God moving among us. So if you just take your hands like this, and, yeah, oh, wow, maybe I won't finish teaching. I'll just, I can feel his presence. And I just, and a lot of times I just sit in my office and I just, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And he just, every fiber of my being. And then it's no problem for me to be loving. But to be able to walk in the love of God. And we've already talked about sometimes it happens at church, but sometimes it doesn't. And my greatest experience was, I know I've shared this with you years ago, but I was, when I first went to the river, the church that we go to now, I didn't go there to go to church. God spoke directly to me. I heard two people talking about building this church building. They were meeting in a community center, and a Tangi center, and God sent me there to help them build the building. I know how to build, so I just went, whatever job they gave me, I did. And then later on, we were, of course, we'd moved into the building and everything, but we were working on cutting weeds, cutting grass, raking gravel, painting. Some of the ladies were in kind of prettying up, some of the inside. Some of the guys were finishing up stuff that didn't get finished. And I happened to be mowing weeds clear out on 76 Highway, which is all the way across the parking lot from the church. And so I'm all sweaty and tired, and I'm running my weed eater up and down, walking along. Boom. And I'm hit by the love of God, the Spirit of God. I mean, I was just energized. Boom, hit me again. Boom, hit me again. I stopped. I said, Father, what is going on? I said, this is better than any revival I've ever been in. I said, why would you show up for work day? It was a Saturday. So why would you show up for work day? He said, I got unity of the Spirit. And where there's unity of the Spirit, that's where I dwell. Hallelujah. And where there's disunity, I leave. That was the greatest revival I've ever been in. Other than just be one-on-one in his presence. So it doesn't matter how religious you are or how correct your doctrine is.
That's right.
If you don't have unity of the Spirit, you might as well just chuck it. Because God will not cooperate with disunity.
Yeah.
It kills off his energy. And that's sin. Mm-hmm. That's sin. So-and-so commits adultery or whatever. That's sin. No. Anything that you do, arguing over the color of the carpet, God will say, I'm out of here. No. Well, my doctrine's right and your doctrine's wrong. God says, I'm out of there. No. I'm not going to put up with this. No. But you get unity of the Spirit. You might even not be correct scripturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what. If you let God in, He will correct you.
Exactly.
He'll correct everyone. You know what? We usually find out. If we'll let God do it, we were all wrong. If we'll let God teach us,
yeah,
we'll find out we were all wrong. Okay. Well, we ever get through here. Verse 17. Chapter 15, verse 17. This is what I command you, that you love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you see why I'm saying this is the very center of these three chapters. Mm-hmm. Chapter 14, 15, 16, and of course then chapter 17 that we covered last month, which was the prayer of faith of Jesus. He prayed all this into existence. He taught them in these three chapters. This was his last sermon. And then he prayed it into existence. I happen to believe the Father heard Jesus' prayer because it was a prayer of faith. And if Jesus don't have faith, then none of it will come to pass. So those theologians that tell me that that's not the faith of God, that's the faith in Jesus, because they changed the... And Paul wanted to say faith in Jesus. The Greek word is en. It's so easy to put en in there. It's just not there. So. I've had them actually take 15 minutes to try to explain to me why God doesn't have faith.
What? That's terrible.
We can prove it.
Yeah.
In the Greek here, we can prove it. They can't prove it to me. I've walked in it too long. And it works.
Amen.
And faith does work by love.
That's right.
Okay, well, we haven't covered any of the scriptures yet here. Like I said, I'll get those out to you. And I put a lot of just little revelation things that have come to me, and I'm adding to it. And I just wrote down a whole bunch more that's not on that. So I'll add that to that. And then...
Go ahead. May I give you my email, please?
Yes.
And I don't have a computer, so could I get it from Jamie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll email it, and then I'll...
Okay. She'll run copies.
I'll get you all copies.
So everyone can have it.
And you too.